The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Good morning. Good morning, Reading. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy here on a perfect Saturday morning. And in the studio today, we have Dan Martin from Lazy 69 Ranch, and we're going to talk about all things egg and beef. And our co-host today is Mark Beecham of Record Searchlight Hall of Fame. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you, Trudy.
Yeah. And so, hey, you know, I just want to get right to it here today because the time goes by so fast. And Dan, welcome.
Thank you very much. Isn't this a wonderful fall spring we're having?
fall spring. Yes, it's perfect out. We did some hiking yesterday. We hiked to Whiskey Town Falls. Have you been to the new falls that was recently discovered?
I don't get out much. I hiked this morning to find my cows.
Does that count? That counts. That counts. Definitely. So, hey, speaking of your cows, so let's start with talking about parts of the cow. You know, you come to our every other month meetings, the Weston A. Price Foundation, and you're teaching us about the parts of the cow, because part of the situation you've observed is that people like me, we know hamburger, we know ribeye, and for me, it kind of then drifts right off. You know,
tri-tip.
Yes, that Californians, we're into our tri-tip. And so, and then it just kind of goes like there's this cliff, you know, where we don't really know what to do with any other parts of the beef. And you have been teaching us certain things. So last Wednesday, you showed up with something called a Swiss steak and then a Czech roast. And so, kind of walk us through those two pieces of meat, and where are they, what part of the cow are they from, or the steer?
Sure. Well, you know what I'm trying to do is teach people that there's so much more, as you said, to the cow. And with that, you know, it's a lot of fun to learn how to address different cuts, different textures, and it's also more economical for you if you understand that you can do so much more with the rest of the cow instead of just always going for the steak. What I brought the other night was the chuck roast, which comes from the front part of the cow. It has a very loose texture, and I put it in a crock pot all day long with some water covering it about halfway, and as you saw, it just kind of falls apart.
It was delicious.
And the Swiss steak, on the other hand, comes from towards the rear of the cow, where the muscle group is a little tighter. The grain, if you will, of the beef is actually a little tighter to me, not as coarse. It's very fine.
Mm-hmm.
But that Swiss steak, it comes from the bottom round, from those of you know where that's at, on the towards the rear of the cow, on the rump, below that. And what did I do? I put a couple of cans of organic cream of mushroom soup over it and threw it in the crock pot and forgot about it for like 10 hours, and then it was tender and it kind of fell apart at the end.
Okay, so for the folks at home who might be thinking, okay, Swiss steak, I've heard it, maybe I heard about it 20 years ago, I don't know how anybody made it, you're saying one of your packages of Swiss steak, you're putting it in your crock pot, and then one or two cans of Amy's organic cream of mushroom soup.
If you're just doing, I did three packages, which was close
okay.
to, I did like almost 5 pounds in that crock pot. So I used two, I think it were 26-ounce cans in that, and a splash of red wine.
Okay.
And that was it for, you know, you can simply do a one package is like, you know, less than a pound and a half of two steaks, and one can would probably be just fine. The key or secret to it, if there was a secret, is that you just need enough liquid to cover the meat for the duration that you're going to be cooking it.
Okay.
So you need some time, you need some liquid, and you need some patience, and just let it go, and it'll fall apart at the end of the day. And what's great about it is it's an economical cut. It's not the most popular cut. It's very economical, and you can put it in the crock pot before you go to work in the morning, let it run all day, come home, you don't have to worry about timing being critical. When everybody is ready to eat, it's there, it's done. So,
Dan, one of the things you've taught me is that there are a lot more cuts of beef than I was aware of, or that you can find at your local supermarket. And the important thing, I guess, from you as a producer is the more cuts of meat that you can provide to the consumer, the more money in your pocket. If you only are able to, say, render a cow and get four or five different cuts of meat, the rest of it goes to ground round, right? And it's not as lucrative for you.
That's true. If I can get people to think outside of the what they've been conditioned to accept in the supermarket bin there, then it's actually a better deal for the rancher and for the consumer, in that they are getting a better deal because I'm able to market more of my cuts at a lower price. Rather than trying to make my money on my ribeyes, I can back that off a little bit and say, okay, people, you're buying the Swiss steak. Okay, you can get the Swiss steak, a great deal. That helps me balance my inventory and really helps me pass along the savings to the customer, which is really
so,
what we're doing.
So in a sense, then, I guess top sirloin or the New York steak is artificially more expensive.
It has to be. You know, kind of a little known fact is, you know, hamburger makes up roughly 40% of any given yield on any given beef. That's just kind of a fact of life, no matter how creative I am with the cut sheet. And that hamburger is sold below the average cost per pound of production. So my hamburger is sold for less than it cost me per pound to produce that beef. And so therefore I am, you know, kind of in a corner to make up ground by getting more of a premium for some of the other cuts. And so if I can kind of move all of the cuts and get people oriented to that, there's other great things there that are probably, you know, will become some of their favorites, then it's a good deal for both of us. And that's kind of where we're at, is trying to say, okay, what do we need out of it and how do we pass it on to the consumer.
Before we go to a break here, what's your favorite cut?
You know, I think for barbecue, it used to be the ribeye. I kind of like the chuck eye steak, which is just simply a chuck steak. It has enough fat in it and enough varying textures to let you know it's still a steak. It's very flavorful, and it's very economical. That's what I typically eat, is a chuck eye steak, believe it or not.
Okay, you heard it here. Hey, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR. We'll be right back.
What do you look for in a building contractor? Experience and quality, and someone who's reliable? Dennis Janeway hits the mark. Dennis has got more than 30 years' experience doing all types of construction. So whether the job is big or small, new home construction or a kitchen or bathroom remodel, call Dennis Janeway today at 604-6702. For experience, quality, and reliability, call Dennis Janeway Construction, 604-6702.
Five Star Bank is here for you for more than 10 years in the Great North Valley. It's true. Americans are the hardest working people on the planet. Just ask anyone that has made the commitment to be their own boss. Whether you are fulfilling your ambitions by starting your own business or growing your successful business, Five Star Bank is here with smart, safe, and stable advice. Your bank should act like a business partner with your business in mind. Being able to rely on a bank that really understands that kind of relationship is peace of mind. Five Star Bank is here for you. It's tough out there. Let Five Star Bank help you put the shine on this recovering economy. Smart people doing good business. Visit us at 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call us at 223-6652. Five Star Bank. Professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, this is Lett Seller with Ernie and Dave.
Dave.
What, Ernie? Come on, Ernie, what?
Our show is Saturday mornings between 7 and 8 in the morning.
Oh.
Every Saturday morning.
That's right. Saturday morning, every Saturday morning from 7 to 8, we sell your stuff
right here
at KCNR 1460 AM.
Hey, well, all right, sir, open the gate and let them out and walk them, boys. Here we come, a lot number 29 in. What are they going to give for them?
Our sponsors support us. We hope you'll support them. Tell them you heard it on KCNR 1460.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Hey, welcome back. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy. In the studio, we have Dan Martin from Lazy 69 Ranch, and we have Mark Beecham as a co-host. And, you know, we're talking about these recipes. I want to come back to them. I think we pretty thoroughly covered the Swiss steak. Do you feel like we locked that in for the listeners at home?
I think so. You know, it's really, I like to keep it simple and, you know, tell people that, you know, if you don't have a crock pot, it's a very easy thing. You can put a lot of different cuts of meat in a crock pot, and you can be, you know, a chef extraordinaire with a crock pot. I mean, it makes me look really good. It's the simplicity that's beautiful about that.
And how much is a crock pot?
You know, you can probably get one for $20.
Okay.
You know, I've seen
that's what I thought.
You can get a really expensive one. You know, I've got one that where the lid locks down to where, you know, when I come to your Weston Price meetings, you know, I don't spill it all over the place and leave some for the people to eat. So,
yeah.
You know, I and that's, you know, that's
I
an
saw
expensive
that. That was
one.
Fancy. It you know, even that, came with a spoon, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah. So, you know, a $20 crock pot. And the beauty of a crock pot is you can almost put anything in there and let it cook all day, and it's going to come apart as long as you got liquid in there.
Okay. So wisdom. Yeah. So let's talk about this chuck roast.
Sure. The chuck roast, again, comes from kind of the forward part of the beef, and it has a very nice, loose texture. It has a good marbling to it, and it's one of our favorites. What we do at home is we simply will take it and defrost it, and then if we have time, we'll brown it in a skillet after we put some garlic, salt, and pepper on it, just to give a little sear, put it in the crock pot, and then, you know, what I usually do is fill it, the crock pot, bring the water level up about halfway onto the roast, so basically a couple cups of water, get some liquid going in there, and then to make its own broth, and season to taste, you know, whatever you like, and just let her rip, let her go all day, and then the last couple hours, if you want, I threw some red potatoes in.
I saw that.
The last hour, you can throw some carrots in there, and that's all you need to know, and you've got a meal, and not only is it great, it's an economical cut. You can find them at Orchard Nutrition, you know, it's economical, and if there's any leftovers, it just shreds, and you can make, you know, I stuff bell peppers with the leftovers.
Ah, very
you know,
good
shredded
idea.
Shredded beef inside of a bell pepper, another very simple recipe. You just basically, you know, you've got crock pot, meat, water, thyme, and then you've got leftovers that, you know, you can take shredded beef anywhere you want. So it's really, really an economical cut. It's a very good cut. It you know, I don't think that Mark got any chuck roast the other night. I think they all gobbled it up before he got to it. So.
I got half a potato, I think.
oh boy, poor Mark. It was delicious. Both items you brought were outstanding. And the way you described them, like you're describing them now, it was very simple. I know we can do it. You know, part of this show is not to give people the hardest recipe in the world, because there are plenty of hard recipes out there. We have a whole food network. The internet is full of very difficult recipes, and we're trying to get people cooking at home again, cooking at home with really healthy food that is clean and preferably local. And so one way of doing that is to have it be that easy. You know, it's like fill it up with some water, add some salt and pepper. Okay, plug it in. There's the plug. Boom. You know, all right, come back in 8 hours.
It's economic. It's easy. Given most of our time constraints, you know, we're usually coming home and thinking, oh, I didn't take anything out for dinner. You come home, the place smells great. You know, a crock pot is a very safe thing to leave on all day while you're gone. You know, you've got it made. It's bulletproof.
Yeah, my mom was talking about she used to use timed bake a lot, you know, but I think that would just stress me out thinking, okay, I've got a pot roast in the oven, it's cooking, and I have to get home at an exact time or the whole thing is going overboard. And so, you know, with a crock pot, it's you just have so much wiggle room.
You do.
Yeah. Well, hey, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with what Dan Martin thinks sustainability is. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and we'll be right back.
Too tired or busy to cook at home or go out to eat? We can bring the restaurant to you. Hi, I'm Jeff from Entree Express. We've been delivering lunch and dinner from your favorite Reading restaurants for 17 years. We can deliver to your home, office, or hotel room. Enjoy your favorites from 25 restaurants by calling Entree Express at 224-9791. That's 224-9791. Or you can Google Entree Express of Reading to find our website.
Do you have neck, shoulder, or back pain? Did you know that acupuncture can help? The experts at Reading Acupuncture Healthcare can treat all these problems and so much more. Acupuncture is a virtually painless therapy that's been used in China for over 1,000 years. It stops pain by stimulating the production of pain-killing endorphins while improving blood flow to the area of pain. Reading Acupuncture Healthcare has 2 experienced acupuncturists with over 25 years of combined experience. Reading Acupuncture is the largest acupuncture clinic in Shasta County and offers the most extensive selection of Chinese herbs, teas, books, and aromatherapy products in their herbal pharmacy. Reading Acupuncture Healthcare is conveniently open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Tuesdays and Thursdays until 7 p.m. We also have Saturday appointments available for your convenience. If you or a loved one have pain that prevents you from enjoying life to the fullest, then call today for a free consultation at 223-2346. Reading Acupuncture Healthcare is in the Rayleigh's Cobblestone Shopping Center on Hartnell. Call today, 223-2346.
Psych Talk, psychology for everyday life.
Join us, Katie Cundy and Ryan Frost, local marriage and family therapist interns, every Saturday at noon.
Some of our upcoming shows include sexuality and addictions, as well as relationship, marriage, and parenting skills. We will also talk about common mental health issues and more complicated subjects such as schizophrenia.
Tune in for emotional health with Psych Talk, Saturdays at noon.
On KCNR 1460.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling.
Welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460. And if you want to call the station over here and talk to Dan Martin from Lazy 69 Ranch, the number is 605-4567. And Dan, welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I want to talk about this whole idea of what it's going to take to make farmers, ranchers in this area sustainable. And sustainable is meaning a lot of things this day. These days, what does it mean to you?
Well, I think at first, sustainability is primarily aimed at your ranching or farming practices. They're environmentally sound. They're sustainable in that you can continue to harvest the land, you can continue to utilize the land over and over, and that your practices allow the land to recover, allow the land to replenish, and allow you to continue on with your product making. However, I think there's another component of sustainability that is not often discussed, and that is the health of the farmers and the ranchers and their business health. Because without them, they could, as an example, you can have the finest sustainable practices on your ranch. However, if you're not paying the bills, you're not very sustainable, because you know that's going to go away at some point in time. So the ability of a rancher or farmer to make a living for his family is a key part to me of that sustainability. That means that land is going to continue, even though it's operated environmentally sound with sustainable practices. If the rancher isn't making any money, then all that sustainability and all that effort he's put into the environmental practices is for nothing, because he's probably going to have to give up his land at some point, and who knows, maybe it'll be paved over for another use. But That's it, really, is getting to the point where our culture understands that we need to support the local ranchers and that they deserve to be able to make a living, because few people work harder.
Now, if you were just to guesstimate other ranchers and farmers, I mean, a lot of people have second incomes, or they are farming and ranching on weekends or something. Now, if you were just to guesstimate how many of our farmers and ranchers are truly full-time, what would you say in our county?
You know, from my experience and my exposure and conversations with people, what I see, like, for example, at the farmers market, is that I would say probably close to half of the vendors there have some other supplemental income or pension or something that is allowing them to operate their farm business in the red, or not at a profit.
Right.
And it may sound odd to hear me say something like, well, that something is profit-based. But in the end, I mean, the reality is, if you want these good products to continue to come your way, there's no way. It really isn't sustainable, in my eyes, for somebody to have to work another job just to throw money in the money pit over here for the farm. And I think that they deserve better. And I will be the first to admit, I did double duty. I worked full-time while I was starting my business. I understand there's a transition. It's very tough to jump over, as I did. I'm, you know, one of the few crazy people, loony enough to do that.
Yeah, I'm agreeing.
You're not supposed to agree with me on that.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, everyone in here is agreeing. They're nodding their heads.
So, it to me is it, in the end, is that, you know, we saw eggs for sale at a market here for 99 cents a dozen, and is that responsibly priced food? No, it's not. I don't know how in the world they could sell it a dozen eggs for 99 cents a dozen retail. I may not want to know how they accomplished that. But the bottom line is that we need to, you know, and really there's kind of a, I'll call it a symbiotic relationship between, I consider my customers as partners in production, in that they help me, they support me. They may have to pay a little bit more for a few cents more for my eggs. But once I get up to that economy of scale, I turn that back around on them and reduce the price, because since they have helped me reach that economy of scale. So it's important that we understand that there's economies of scale for these farmers. and that they have to say, for all that goes into whether I produce a dozen eggs a week or 100 dozen eggs or 1,000 dozen eggs, I still have to have the same infrastructure to refrigerate that product to get it to market. So I need a certain amount to be able to support that infrastructure.
Do you think that when you're looking at this idea of sustainability, do you think that you have to absolutely leave the area to get your own personal economy more vital?
Well, it is tough. Yeah, it's.
I mean, I know you are right now, and yeah. I know that's working well for you, and that you're selling eggs in San Francisco, and they love having you come down and deliver eggs twice a month, and they take good care of you, and they sell your eggs for probably close to double.
Yes.
What we're buying them for here, or maybe not quite, right? Or
just about, you know, really, our eggs are running average probably $4.50 a dozen here in the stores locally, and they're paying $7.99 a dozen in San Francisco. It's interesting that the people that have been furthest removed from the source of their food have a greater sense of appreciation. We live in kind of a rural area. Chickens and eggs are common, backyards, and it's interesting that the people in the city that don't have access to that have a renewed sense of appreciation for that because they don't have it anymore.
Right, right. So right now, for your success, that's a major part of your formula, right?
With the promise of fuel costs rising, there has been we'll look at grain costs, which goes into the feed. Corn has gone up over 60% in the past 6 or 8 months. It's put pressure on all the other neighboring grains. There's a lot of reasons for that. You know, production is one, and our dollar isn't very strong. We're being outbid by our own U.S. corn. So I think that, the prices that I have to, in turn, get to be able to remain solvent, sometimes I have to go to the Bay Area and get a better price, you know, for my eggs because locally it wouldn't be supported.
You want to go back to something you said earlier about the 99-cent eggs that you saw advertised at Walgreens. And there's the price that the consumer pays at the checkout. And then there's the unseen cost of really cheap, concentrated, you know, industrial farming food. Could you talk a little bit about that? I mean, there's the cost of, obviously, you know, an environmental cost to a very concentrated agriculture. There's a fuel cost. There's the cost in health to people who eat commodity foods. We have an obesity epidemic that some people trace to the rise of industrial farming. But when they're buying your eggs, sure, they're paying a little bit more, but they know where they're coming from. They know the quality. They know you grew them, and the money is staying here as opposed to going way, way out of state.
Yes. Well, I always tell people that you may pay a few cents more for my products, but when you buy them, they are truly bought and paid for. In other words, my footprint ends right there. We don't have a fleet of trucks hauling our eggs from Iowa to California. We're not factory farmers. We let our chickens out every day and run around and graze in the pasture. And so with that, it's bought and paid for, whereas there's this kind of lingering debt that society pays, not only in the form of your health, but you're talking about things like people are concerned now with animal welfare. Chickens that are raised in cages laying eggs is not so appetizing to me and to a lot of my customers. They want to know that and that the animals were treated well. And I think that what it comes down to, we're as proud of how we accomplished our product as our product itself. So we feel good in the end that we, you know, have a nice product, a fresh product, but we're very proud of how we arrived at that product. It wasn't a factory farm. And the unintended consequences of what Mark's talking about is true in that, California used to be kind of the egg state, excuse me, of the nation. And now California imports about 50% of the eggs that we consume come from someplace else, from Iowa, for example.
Wow, yeah.
So there's these unintended consequences that people don't see on the face. And I completely understand the need for families to save money in this time that we're in now. However, are you really saving money if it's going to cost you some chronic health issues later down the road? Could you have paid a few cents more for that dozen eggs? And could they have been, raised sustainably in an environmental sense and in a business sense to allow me to continue to provide this product to you? And those are some of the questions that, I would raise, and certainly with regard to sustainability.
Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk to you. We all went down to listen to Joel Salatin on Monday night in Chico, and that was just a great event. 700 people showed up to listen to an inspirational farmer, and it was, he's been life-changing for you, and we're going to talk about him and your experience getting to listen to one of your heroes. When we come back, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. You're listening to Positively Healthy on KCNR.
Hi, I'm Amy Rogers. I'm a certified massage therapist with a bachelor's degree in kinesiology. I've worked with a broad spectrum of clients that have a variety of needs. I like to help people get rid of their physical pain so they can enjoy their lives. You can find me at Dr. Trudy Pratt's office at 244-7873. Most insurance is accepted. Number again is 244-7873. Let this be the year that you care for yourself.
Hi, this is Sharon, owner of Home Helpers. After over 6 years in business, I want to share lessons I have learned. I have learned that helping someone return home after a hospital stay improves their memory and quality of life. I have learned that clients who remain at home have a favorite coffee cup, a beloved pet, a daily routine, and a lifetime of memories in every room. I have learned that helping clients by preparing meals, cleaning house, doing laundry, driving to appointments, and reminding them to take medications earns a smile and many times a hug. I have learned that after 50 years of marriage, helping a couple stay together in their home is a gift greater than gold. Home Helpers Care is available 2 to 24 hours a day. All caregivers are background checked, insured, and bonded. If you are committed to keeping a loved one at home, call Home Helpers at 226-8350 or online at readinghomehelpers.com. Home Helpers, there is no place like home.
Hey, Linda. Let's head on down to Espresso Joe's. They've got the best coffee for the best prices, and I'm in the mood.
That sounds like a lot of fun. And their special this month is dark mocha. My favorite.
The cost of coffee is on the rise again, too. I want to pick up a couple of pounds for our supply. I want to get some of the Colombia Supremo, my favorite.
Okay, let's go to Espresso Joe's. Fun place, great coffee, and really nice people. Espresso Joe's, 2143 Hilltop, where you get more Joe.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy. In the studio, we have Dan Martin from Lazy 69 Ranch and Mark Beecham as a co-host. So welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you. And so let's talk about this event we all went to on Monday night. So tell us, who is this Joel Salatin character, and why did we go there?
Joel is a lunatic farmer like I am. He inspired me years ago with some of his books. And he's in Virginia. And Joel was a small farmer. He started on a similar sized acreage as I, 130 acres. And he started selling good, wholesome food to the locals there. And they loved it. They loved coming and having this guy be accountable for the food that they're doing and have the sustainable practice. And, actually one time he borrowed money from his customers. That's how much of a following that he developed.
Wow.
He had a very overzealous regulatory environment, being in Virginia, in the east there, and they were telling him, you can't do this, you can't do that, you have to conform to the commercial factory way of producing food under all these regulations that we've stacked upon you. And he's like, no, I'm going to give people food directly from the pasture, and they're going to pay a little more for it. In fact, he borrowed money from his customers so he could build his infrastructure and be able to return it back to them again. And since then, he's written a number of books that have been very popular. He's a very solid inspiration for loonies like me to be able to say it can be done, and he's done it. And he came and talked to us the other night about the beauty was the simplicity of his approaches and how he really, how he moves his chickens around, the things that he does, and just the pragmatic aspect that he have is really wonderful to hear. That it's simpler than you think, you can do it, but you have to have people get on board and support you.
Now, part of his approach was pretty basic, don't you think? I mean, if you have an orchard, why don't you let your chickens out into the orchard so that their byproduct can be the nitrogen in the soil? I mean, I don't know. Is that...
He loves to stack enterprises and make things work together. You know, what he talked about, he would throw corn in the barns throughout the wintertime as he was feeding his cows, and then he would turn the pigs loose in the barn to eat that fermented corn. And so they were very, very complementary to one another, the stacking of enterprises and allowing the pigs to work with the cows and so forth. And it's like biology 101 type stuff that is so simple people think, well, how could that ever work? There must be something more to it. Well, really there isn't. It's just a lot of nurturing and basically, you know, just letting things work for you, let nature work for you, let the chickens eat the bugs, timing of introduction of cows, you know, moving the cows every day to allow the grass to regrow and not turning into a dirt feedlot and things like that.
I remember he said something about the stacking allowed him to reduce his fuel bill by more than half, I believe, because there's so many, you know, carbon right. inputs in modern agriculture with fertilizers and
true. The like.
And he was able to really dramatically reduce that.
And the fuel, you know, also with just simply feeding his cows grass. You know, somebody, I think it was Chris from Chaffin Orchards, who did a wonderful job putting that together for us down there, had basically said, you know, if we return to a grass-based grazing system for our cattle instead of these dirt feedlots, that we would reduce, it was some outrageous percentage that I can't even remember, but the carbon footprint would basically go away almost. It was like 85% of it would disappear if we went back to grass and that sustainable practice of moving your cows and feeding them grass instead of worrying about, you know, trainloads full of corn to feed them at the end. So
I wanted to go back to, briefly, you talked about Joel and the title of his book, Everything I Want to Do is Illegal, and all that regulatory barriers that he faced. Could you contrast that with the regulatory cooperation that, by and large, you've gotten from our Shasta County Ag Commissioner?
Yes, I think it's a huge contrast. I think that here locally, there's a very supportive atmosphere from our Department of Food and Ag. And it really is a big contrast because it really has become, I think it's the will of the people, really, through things such as what Dr. Trudy's done here to get people together with their farmers. And when it becomes the will of the people, I don't think anything can stand in its way. Even the regulatory environment has to yield to that at some point. And so Mary Pfeiffer at our Department of Ag has just been very supportive of the locals, you know, getting us up and running, helping us be successful without first telling us, here's the you know, onerous regulatory environment you have to operate in. You know, there's some little workarounds and some things, and you know, she wants you to succeed. And that's what it's all about.
And so when you look at the way you need to continue growing, what do you see for yourself and your family in the next, say, 3 years?
Well, I would, you know, our property, our ranch burnt in the 1992 Fountain Fire, and I would really like to see, you know, unfortunately, by the time we'd gotten there, it had overgrown with manzanita and buckbrush, and I'd really like to restore it kind of how it was, you know, at one time with a lot of cedar trees and so forth. You know, it's kind of like asking a guy who's treading water, where do you see this going in the future? Sometimes it's very hard when, you know, you're treading water to figure out, you know, is there going to be a tomorrow for us? Is the market going to go away? Are they going to buy the 99-cent eggs instead of ours and leave us behind?
Yeah.
I would see, you know, right now, we're not after necessarily getting bigger. I'm trying to get to the point where we're able to, the family's able to draw a paycheck from what we do, which we haven't been able to do yet. And that is, you know, that should resonate with everybody out there, and that, you know, there's a lot of farmers out there that don't get a paycheck. They're paying their payments on their tractors, they're paying their bills, they're just going to the next, you know, hoop basically to jump through. So I would say I don't really think that we want to get bigger. We want to get more efficient at what we do and continue to cooperate with the other local producers to, you know, to turn that around. And for example, cooperating with Henry at Hat Creek Grown.
Now, what's your affiliation with Henry?
Well, you know what, the beauty of it is we have no contract. Everything's on a handshake. And Henry and I are actually competitors, believe it or not. And now what we're finding is, we are able to provide the customer with a more economical, higher quality beef product by combining our resources. So really, and I think Congress could take a big lesson from this, is here we are head-to-head competitors in the same county, but yet we're cooperating with each other, and really with the idea of turning it back over to the consumer and getting them a better price on higher quality local meat here, which I think is really unique about the agricultural business here locally, is that competitors are cooperating with each other for the benefit of the consumer.
Excellent. Well, hey, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about just the health benefits of some of this fabulous food that Dan Martin grows. We'll be right back. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt.
Hi, I'm Vicki Leda from Orchard Nutrition Center. For 30 years, our family-owned business has been Redding's premier choice for health foods, produce, bulk foods, and the best nutritional supplements. We pride ourselves on offering many locally produced foods. Our products are good for you and easy on your pocketbook. Orchard Nutrition Center, 221 Locust in the Cypress Shopping Center, open every day, 8 to 9.
Are you taking time for yourself? Nancy Sutton's House of Yoga is your time-out location. It's a spa for the body, mind, and spirit. Non-competitive, therapeutic, nurturing, and welcoming are some of the words commonly used of the House of Yoga experience. Devoted teachers guide you lovingly through each class. No yoga experience is necessary. Physical limitations are not an obstacle. Men, women, and mature children are welcomed. Yoga is not merely an exercise for the body. It heals you through all aspects of yourself, body, mind, and spirit. We emphasize listening to your inner wisdom, which is always teaching you how to heal and thrive in the midst of your life. The House of Yoga, 246-7256, or the website nshouseofyoga.com. And remember, give yourself the gift of time.
Join Elizabeth and Aaron from the Redding Tea Party, Sunday mornings from 8 to 10 for We the People. Now is the time to find out how governmental overreach will be affecting your private property rights before it's too late. Have you heard about the 9 monuments being proposed that will total 14 million acres? Join us Sunday mornings from 8 to 10 to learn more about this and many other topics affecting you. Sunday mornings on KCNR 1460.
Not without a star.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Okay, we're back, and this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and we're talking to Dan Martin from Lazy 69 Ranch. Welcome back, Dan.
Thank you.
You know, I want to talk a little bit about the health benefits of your food, because I think sometimes, you know, we get so into, well, first of all, you're fun. And so we start talking about all these things that are very important. But one of the reasons people listen to this show is to try to figure out what the heck is so great about your food. Why would they want to? They may want to support you because they believe in something local, but we need to also teach them about healthy food and why. Sure. Why you want to choose some of these foods. And I, you know, when we talk about grass-fed beef, I want to make really, you know, the point, to drive the point home. And if I haven't, or if you're a new listener, you know, I kind of talk about this a lot, but if you're a new listener, the fact that grass-fed beef is really not going to be full of hormones and antibiotics, pesticide residues, that is very, that's the biggest thing I know of, because in my practice, when we are looking at trying to get someone who doesn't feel good to feel better, the first thing we do is we look at their food and we just say, okay, let's look at what food is real that you're eating and what food is fake. And so we start getting rid of the colors, the artificial colors. We have them start becoming a label reader. And as they become a label reader, we have them start avoiding the ingredients they can't pronounce. And so, you know, if it's some kind of weird polysorbate 80 thing, well, you know what? Okay, you probably don't need that in your system. And so the more you can get rid of the red dye number, whatever, because, you know, those red dyes, they just keep getting outlawed as they are tested to cause cancer. But then along comes the next number, you know, and it's like there's just so much that goes into unhealthy food. But when you start simplifying and you start looking at clean eggs, clean meat, you know, the same is true for eggs. They're full of hormones, antibiotics. And so when you're looking at a clean chicken, then you have something that is not a health risk to you. And so not go ahead, Mark.
But the hormones and antibiotics aren't listed on the ingredient label.
Right. So that's why you have people like me chirping, because it gets very confusing for the consumer. So it's like if you were just to go to the market, see the 99 cent eggs, you might think, well, that's, you know, I don't.
An egg is an egg.
Exactly. And so it's just not true. So when you can raise the quality of your egg and have it be something that is offering you all the protein, and we all know that the nutrient base of the animal, or the, you know, the chicken is going to be the nutrients that are provided to you. And so the more we look at what nutrients are in your food, hey, that makes up, you know, those are the foods that make up you. And so Every day your cells are replicating. Every day your cells, you know, you're making your eyeball tissue today, and you're making some elbow, and you're making knee, and you're making pancreas. And if you don't have the nutrients to make those items, then you're gonna make an inferior product. And so what we need for people as they go through their lifespan is that they need to have their health and their vitality. So the more we can choose foods that are healthy, people just feel better. And so if we can get more people feeling better, that changes our personal economy, it changes our relationships, it changes our community. And so part of what you do is, you know, why I love having you on as a guest is to be able to support this whole idea and get people impassioned and feeling like, my gosh, you know, yeah, maybe I'll just get a little smaller cell phone plan, or maybe I don't need these long acrylic nails, you know, maybe I can just choose my expenses in a different way and prioritize my income so that I can afford some of these foods that are real.
Sure. And isn't it interesting that it's not, when you talk about hormones and antibiotics in our food chain, that it's not fully disclosed on the packaging. It's interesting that we become so conditioned to accepting that as a part of normal factory farming that it's not often disclosed on the label. Or if it is, you don't know what you're reading. Excuse me. So I think that what I tell people is make the feed-food connection. You are what you eat. I mean, that's cliche, perhaps, but if you look at our beef program, for example, is remarkably simple. It's simply cattle on pasture grass. That's it. There's no antibiotics introduced to them. There's no hormones. There's just grass, organically grown grass. Henry refers to it as harvesting sunshine, basically.
And that's
we're doing. And so that's it. And as Joel said, our cows lead a wonderful life with only one bad day. And so, I mean, who else in their life can say that they, you know, only had one bad day? So
that is terribly funny.
That feed-food connection and the omega-3s that the cattle get from eating the grass, their native or natural diet, they're ruminants. They were intended to eat grass, they're herbivores. So, the omega-3s are very present in grass-fed beef. And, you know, it's very simple. People ask me, how do you do this? Well, there's a lot more to it, obviously. And, you know, you have to, it's an art and a science. But simply put, there's a lot of omega-3s. And the same with the eggs. Anybody that's bought the 99-cent eggs, you know, I would encourage you to go buy a dozen of 99-cent eggs from Walgreens, then go buy a dozen of ours and crack them in the pan. And then, okay, now you've seen the product difference. Now let's reel it back a little bit and say, how do we arrive at this product? I wouldn't be very proud of my 99-cent eggs. I know what they look like when you crack them. I'm very proud of my eggs. You know, our chickens are obviously they're able to forage, and they're able to get their graze on, and that's all present. That feed-food connection comes through in the eggs. People have told me their eggs are taller, richer, and that they actually taste better.
Fresher,
certainly.
Too.
Yeah, how fresh are they when you go to Orchard or Sunset or Holiday, when you see them there, or over at Country Organics? How fresh are they?
You know, it's interesting. Eggs have a legal 30-day shelf life from the time that they're packaged. However, typically, like at Orchard or any of the stores, we deliver there at least once a week, sometimes twice a week. So the eggs that you're seeing in the store are typically, you know, 3 to 4 days since they've been laid. And you're getting a very fresh product.
Are most of your delivery days locally on Thursday?
Yeah, we deliver Thursdays.
So if you kind of get there by Friday, you probably have a crazy fresh
and our egg. Yeah, and our strategy is to only deliver what the store can go through in that few day period, you know, to where their shelves are cleaned out and we're recycled again. We're not letting them sit there for 30 days as most of the eggs coming from out of the state are.
Excellent. Well, we're going to take a quick break. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and we'll be right back.
Today, most beef and poultry products come from factory farms, from animals raised in confinement, fed antibiotics, and genetically modified organisms. Fortunately, there's a local source of humanely raised grass-fed beef, organic chickens, and pastured free-range eggs. The Martin family at the Lazy 69 Ranch near Round Mountain wants you to get back in touch with your food and your farmer. Look for Lazy 69 products at Orchard Nutrition, Holiday Market, Sunset Market, or online at lazy69ranch.com.
You can save your business money by paying less for postage. I'm Jennifer Haynes, Marketing Director with NorCal Presort, your business mailroom. Outsource your mailings to the experts at NorCal Presort to save time and save money. Think about it. Is that postage equipment sitting in your office making you money? The answer is no. Realistically, you pay a lease, you pay maintenance and ink, you pay labor, you pay full price for the postage, all in advance. How is that saving you money? Get rid of the postage machines and bring your mail to NorCal Presort. NorCal Presort takes the frustration and hassle out of your business mailings. Mailing costs are an increasing monthly expense, but we know how to save you time and money in first class and with your direct mail. Come and see us at 835 Industrial Street, just off Hilltop, or call 221-6895. Save time and money today at NorCal Presort, your business mailroom. Call us, 221-6895.
The Anselmo Vineyards Wine Tasting Room is a sanctuary of elegance. The tasting room offers majestic views of green pastures and the Trinity Range, and above all, it offers award-winning wines whose appearance, fragrance, and finish make your experience first class all the way. Chef John Stadelli's imaginative entrees will leave you with an impressionable gourmet experience like no other. Make a lifelong memory satisfying all of your sensations when you visit Anselmo Vineyards, just a short distance from Reading. It will become your favorite romantic getaway. For lunch, dinner, or wine tasting hours, call Anselmo Vineyards at 474-5546 or visit our website at anselmovineyards.com. That's 474-5546. Anselmo Vineyards, your destination getaway.
Hi, this is Dr. Doug Craig, and I have a new show on KCNR every Sunday at 10 a.m. called Wake Up Call, where we focus on the people and companies that are making a difference in our community and for the planet. I hope you'll join me as we move beyond politics with a psychology of hope and understanding and examine issues that are important to all of us. Instead of focusing on our differences, let's celebrate our common truths every Sunday at 10 a.m. on KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last.
Oh, just welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media. And, you know, we're just finishing up here with Dan Martin. And, Dan, why don't you let folks out there in Radioland know where to find your products?
I think a good starting place is our website, lazy69ranch.com. It talks about some of the things I've hit on as far as how we do things. Locally, Orchard Nutrition, Country Organics, and Holiday Market all carry our products in addition to Sunset Market.
Okay.
Beef and eggs.
Also over in Weaverville, right?
Tops Market, which is the owner of Sunset, also has our eggs up there. So we're in Trinity County now.
Oh, my.
They take them up there for us. They're already going there, and we drop them off at Sunset, and they run them up the hill for us. So.
Excellent. Now, all the holiday markets, is that what you said?
No, we have a market in Palisadro, the market on Placer Street, and also in Cottonwood and Hartnell, the one in Hartnell.
That's not all of them?
No, they
have others. We also
just know that there's more.
They're also taking them up to the Paradise store, kind of on an experimental by customer request thing. So if you don't see our stuff in the stores, then you need to grab the manager by the collar and say, hey, why aren't you carrying more local stuff and give these guys a chance?
Okay, I like that. We have a caller on line one. Caller, are you there?
I am.
Well, hi. This is Candace.
It is.
Do you have a question?
I do, and I wanted to ask this the last time Dan was on. Where can I buy fresh Lazy 69 beef versus buying it at Sunset frozen?
Well, the frozen...
Very good question.
Yeah, it is a good question.
Do you want to take your answer off the air or off the...
Yes. Okay. Yes, thanks, Trudy.
Sure. All right, thank you.
Bye.
I think, Candace, if you're still listening out there, the best thing is to send me an email, dan@lazy69ranch.com. You can go on our website, lazy69ranch.com. We purposely have our beef frozen just because it's very difficult for us to maintain a fresh market. You know, you've got to turn that stuff over very fast, but that doesn't mean that we can't get it to you without it being previously frozen. So basically, send me an email and, you know, we'll work something out. We'll let me know what you're interested in. And that's certainly a possibility if for anybody that prefers that their beef was never frozen. Even though I've done the test and it doesn't seem like there's ever been any difference in texture and so forth because of we cryovac our packaging. There's no air in there. And so it really retains all of its freshness in the package. But I understand completely if that's your preference. So give me an email.
Excellent. Okay, so you are reaching out to the consumer in every direction. That's very accommodating. That doesn't happen.
They are driving the bus. They need to let me know. This is great. Let me know what you're interested in. You know, if you don't want it frozen, let me know.
Yeah. Mark?
I'm going to go back to those 99-cent eggs again. I know a lot of people are very price sensitive, especially in this economy right now. But there are externalities involved, as we've talked about before. And one of them, obviously, is the kind of conditions that the chickens that are laying these 99-cent eggs are having to endure, and the hormones and other antibiotics that they're geezed up with in order to stay alive long enough to lay eggs. And it occurs to me that if the Surgeon General were to label industrial food the way people who produce cigarettes and pharmaceuticals are required to take these FDA labels, it might read something like, Surgeon General says, warning, may cause cancer, chronic illness, and worst of all, man boobs.
Oh.
Am I okay to say man boobs on the air? Is that okay?
Our producer says yes.
Okay.
Okay. So whenever we alter our hormones, things happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's a real consideration. People need to think of what is in the products that they are eating. And if they're produced in some huge chicken factory or egg factory in an anonymous place in Iowa somewhere with barbed wire around it and guards, you got to wonder what's going on in there.
And it's certainly no conspiracy theory. I mean, this is real life stuff. You know, it's very efficient what they do in these factory farm settings, but they use the aid of these hormones and antibiotics to keep animals healthy and cycled because they're all living next to each other in crowded conditions. If one chicken comes down with something, they've all got it. They lose the whole flock because they're so crowded. So it's true, unfortunately. And I think that's what we're talking about. There's not only a carbon footprint sustainability issue, but we're also talking about looking down the road a little bit. What is your true cost? If you spend 99 cents on a dozen eggs that have who knows what, you know, what methods they've employed to get them at 99 cents, which is incredible to me. You know,
including illegal aliens probably,
sure,
working in the factory and the whole cost of that.
And there's even, you know, we've seen it, I think it was in Food Inc., where the local law enforcement has agreements with some of these factory farms that they can only deport so many illegals per day because it impacts their workforce so incredibly. And it's like, wait a minute, isn't it illegal? No, well, there's a business end of things here, and that really is what's driving things.
Well, as we wind up here, I want to thank you for coming on, and we love having you, and I always learn so much, and we try to share that with the listeners and not have it be too inside baseball. I always want to know everything, and I love the continued recipes that are simple because that helps people. And you've been listening to Positively Healthy. I'm Dr. Trudy Pratt. Next week, we're going to have on a group. We're going to talk about meth and the meth problem in Shasta County and maybe what we can do about it, learn some facts. And I've been told to not say we're going to have a show on meth. It is about meth. And so, you know, a lot of kids still really don't put the connection that's a word that they need to steer clear of. And so little education for all of us. All right. Have a great week and we'll catch you next Saturday.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Stanley. With the new Congress just seated, the 2012 presidential election has already bubbled to the top of the political agenda. And right now in New Hampshire, Republicans are conducting a first-of-its-kind straw poll aimed at handicapping the first-in-the-nation primary just over a year away.
Some of the candidates on the straw poll ballot, Mitt Romney, of course, former House Speaker Newt Gingrich, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, Alaska's Sarah Palin, Congressman Ron Paul, former Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty, and Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels. But today's vote will not give much insight into the thinking of New Hampshire's all-important independent voters. They make up roughly 40% of the Republican primary electorate in that state.
Fox's Steve Santani. Some 500 members of the New Hampshire state GOP are taking part in that poll. Iran scuttles crucial talks on its nuclear program by insisting on preconditions the rest of the participants won't accept.
Nuclear talks with Iran ended in Istanbul without resolution today. The